God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. And his mercies do endure forever. Glory to God. Well, thank you, pastors, for letting us be with you guys again. What a joy. Well, it's an honor to be. I love coming to New York in the fall. I get to see some fall colors. There's nothing like it. And just an honor to be here and to be with, of course, Kevin and Annie, my wonderful husband, and Aaron and Jim and Robin. It's so much fun coming together and having a meeting together. And these guys are awesome. And I heard that yesterday was amazing. Heard that yesterday morning was awesome with Kevin, and that Jim tried to show that he had muscles by carrying the, he does have a few muscles, yeah. He was able to carry it. I heard he might have stumbled a little bit when he picked it up, maybe. No, I'm kidding. But sounds like you had a fun time last night. And I have a few things on my heart that are stirring, and we're just going to share it. And I believe we're going to have some prayer time this morning. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
My most favorite thing to do is to pray.
Yeah.
And I believe we're going to have a wonderful time in prayer. But, you know, the other night, the Spirit of God had me get up early in the morning, and I told me, I love it when he tells me this, get your notebook and your pen and go to your favorite chair and I'm gonna talk to you. And he did that, and he's done that many times, but this particular time, this was just recent, I went in and he just began to talk to us and share some things with me. And one of the first things he said to me, he said, you know you're supposed to hear me audibly. I go, huh? He goes, you're supposed to be able to hear me where I'm audible to you. And I pondered on that for a little bit. He kept talking and I kept writing, but I got stuck when he said that to me. And since then, he's broke it down a little bit to me. And should I stay in one place? Am I okay mic-wise, or should I use the handheld? And But I've been pondering on it and talking to the Lord about it. And then it was like, duh, I should know better to be thinking so naturally minded. Because if you're a three-part being, your spirit should be able to hear him just as clear as day. You know what I'm saying? Just audible. And it's audible to you. To who? Your spirit. And your soul, your mind, your emotions, what does it like to do? Connect only with this realm. And but the more we condition ourselves in the Word and get in the Word and read the Word, renew our minds, it's amazing what happens with us. But there's something about your prayer life that when you're over there in prayer, it helps you hear. Your spirit's getting, you're getting tuned into your heart is what's happening. I love it. I quote it all the time. And it's about time that I quit saying who said it. It's time for us, and that's Annie, for us to begin to be good, being good at being a spirit. And this is Spirit Life Conference, right? Or Life in the Spirit Conference. But it's time for us to actually believe what we've been teaching for many years now. You know, that we are a spirit. We live in a body. We possess a soul. How many years ago did Dad Hagen teach us that? And we still are more connected to this realm than to that realm. And, you know, Brother Hagen even prophesied, and he said in the end, the two realms are going to be so so close and so interactive that you'll not know at times when you're over there or in this realm, because it just becomes so natural to you. And I believe that we're in that hour right now. I believe we're in the hour. I believe we were supposed to always stay that way, but I think we've been taught so much that it's made things difficult to operate in the spirit. And I believe as spirit beings, we have a legal right to operate in that realm. And if you are a spirit, and we all are, or your dead body's in the room right now, okay? Wasn't it Stephen that said, you know, when he was being stoned, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He didn't say receive my body, my soul, my mind, my intellect. He said receive my spirit. And the Bible said that when his spirit went out of his body, what happened? His body fell to the ground. His spirit went up, but his body fell. And it was here in the earth. His body stayed, but his spirit went. So if you don't have a spirit, then you're not kicking. Are you with me? Every single one of us has a spirit, a human spirit. You know, we've already taught and shared all these things before in John 4:24, where it says God is a spirit. Over in Genesis 1, it says that God made you like him, so which means you're a spirit. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. How many of you know that Paul said spirit first, and I think he did it intentionally to let us know that's the real you, that's who you are. Then over in Proverbs, it talks about how that God looks down at your spirit, the candle of the Lord, your spirit, he looks at you. Then in John 7:38, it talks about out of your belly flows rivers of living water, out of your spirit, out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. Brother Hagin used to always have us put our hands on our belly, and he would say, right there, that's the real you. Now speak from that place. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. I don't know how many times he would even talk about times of prayer. And he would say, have you ever had that itch down on the inside? And you just knew you needed to pray some more. You needed to get some more things covered. And you would know that you needed to pray in the spirit. You know how many times the enemy will come at us and we'll pray a little pat prayer on something that we've heard. Maybe one scripture, and then we go, okay, well, I prayed about that, and we go on. But the whole time, down in your spirit, you've got an itch, meaning you've got a, it's not covered yet. Something's just not. And we've got to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do. We got to be good at being a spirit. You know, the devil's not going to come knocking at your door saying, you need to pray some more. He's not going to do that unless you're a religious freak and you're crazy. You know, he's not. I mean, I've never had the enemy come to me and tell me, Leanne, you need to pray a little more. If there's an urgency there, if there's something there, then you need to rise up and get in prayer. Amen. And so when the Spirit of God said to me, he said to me, I meant to bring it so I could just read it exactly the way he said it. But he said to me, he said, you are to hear me. You can condition yourself to hear me audibly all the time. Now you think about it. If I'm a spirit, and that's what the Bible says I am, and he's a spirit, my husband, I know his voice. I know Annie's voice. Actually, I know all these guys' voices to where if they called me, I don't have to go, who are you? I know them. How many of you have friends here in the church right now that if they called you on the phone, you wouldn't have to say, who is this? You know them, right? And the Spirit of God, he lives on the inside of you 24/7. The Bible said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm with you always. But see, our soul will make us believe I can't hear. Our flesh will say other things to us and make us feel, you don't know nothing. You're ignorant. Or you've been religiously brainwashed with wrong teaching. I was raised Pentecostal. And so a lot of teaching, we didn't get the word of faith teaching. And so a lot of times my thinking would go old school is what I would say. I would go back to my old way of training when I was Pentecostal. And I'd been already a Rhema grad and everything, but when troubles come at you, if you don't have word level and you haven't developed your relationship with the Lord, guess what's going to happen? You're going to revert back to old ways of thinking. Now I'm going to meddle. Some of us have issues in our personalities. Nobody, if you can't keep a friend, something's wrong with you. But we seem, those that have problems with keeping friends, always look at, well, they've got a problem. I had a friend, well, a couple, they were great friends, still are. He could not keep employees. Could not keep an employee. Could not. Can I say it again?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, Leanne, pray for me. Pray for this individual. Pray for this employee. Pray for me to find the right employees. After about five times of that, his wife came to me and wanting to pray. And I looked at her and I said, well, do you think that there could be a problem with the employer? And she looked at me and she goes, something's wrong. If you are going through 500 employees all the time, look in the mirror. You can't keep a friend? Look in the mirror. Everybody says you have a problem and you're doing this and you're doing that. Don't just go, well, they just have a problem. Look in the mirror. Are you with me? Too many times we have issues in our soul and our emotions from our upbringing, from our past, that we never deal with. And you know what happens? It begins to hinder us in hearing accurately and fulfilling all that God has for us. Don't you want to keep the connections that God brings to you? You don't want to destroy connections. I look at these guys. These are connections that I've had. I worked with this guy when he was dumb. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. Inexperienced. But then we begin to experience all kinds of things in God, you know, back in 94. But it's a lasting relationship. He loved me so much that a few years ago, he's like, Leanne, can you please start praying with me again? Okay, well, he didn't say it like that, but I kind of wanted to say it that way. But it's a long-lasting relationship. You should be able to have relationships that forever, especially in God. But guys, what happens, and this is just a side thought here where I was going to meddle for a minute, to where your personality has to be tweaked. How do you tweak your personality? Get in the Word, see what the Word says about you, but then start praying in the Spirit. Guess what happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost? It improves you. Thank God Almighty. You don't have to be a know-it-all. You don't have to give your opinion all the time. Hello, I'm glad you guys love me. But flesh has a voice, and it needs to be curbed. Some of it needs to be trashed, because we don't want to have any hindrances to going after the fullness of what God has for us. We got to let the Word do the work within our souls and in our emotions. And, you know, thank God that, you know, when you get in the Word, faith arises within you and revelation will come and flood your soul. It's amazing, but revelation to me flows more in prayer. Meaning that when you're meditating the Word, I've been talking to our church family, telling them, don't just read the Bible like a book. Read the Bible in fellowship. In your relationship with God. Read the Bible, not like a book in your library. It's the inspired Word of God. Read it from your relationship with God. And as you read it, fellowship with God. It's a living book. It's a living Word. And when you fellowship with God, guess what happens? Revelation will begin to flood you like never before. You need revelation. I love the Ephesian prayers, you know, for spirit of wisdom and revelation, into the intimate, deep knowledge of God, that I can go deeper, that I can go further. I will move up higher. You know, okay, that's a beautiful song and we need to sing it. But don't you think it's time to live in who you are in Christ? Because we're supposed to be seated with Him, right? I think the song is scriptural. I think it's wonderful. I love the song. But we also need to remember, that's who I am. As a spirit being, that is who I am. And as a spirit, I can hear Him. I hear Him. How many of you know He's speaking a lot louder than what we think? He's speaking a lot louder than what we think. And it's so important that we heed to what He's saying. There are so many different types of prayers that you can pray in the Word. Brother Hagin used to talk about 9 different kinds. But then he would say, but the most important prayer is the one that's needed at the time. And no matter what prayer that you pray, you want to make sure that you're praying with the knowledge of, my sheep hear my voice. and no other voice will they follow. I hear him. I hear him. I see him. I know him, right? Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you guys okay with this? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this passage. It takes me back to my Pentecostal roots when I was a kid sitting in church, because my pastor would read and preach this particular passage all the time. And he would, of course, I mean, the King James was the only version that we were allowed to read. And I'm thankful that I found out I could read other different translations to help me understand. But I can remember back in the day when somebody had a guest speaker at the church, and my pastor got up because he read the Amplified. My pastor got up and said, "No, you're not preaching here anymore," and had him get off the platform in front of everybody. I was like, "What's the Amplified?" You know, but it's funny. Anybody go to a church like that ever? No? No? Well, I'm all by myself. All by myself. All right, I want you to just look here at verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now that verse alone was preached in my Pentecostal church all the time. Your eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard, but when you get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. You're going to hear, see, and know, blah, 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 blah. And man, we chat about it. We dance about it because we knew we were going to know when we got to the other side. When the roll is called up yonder, you know, come on, I'm going to know. I'm going to have wisdom and I'm going to have light when I get there. And when I went to Rhema, I found out that verse 10 existed. Notice the next two words, "but God." Can you just say that, "but God"? "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Verse 10, "but God." I don't have to wait to heaven. Right now, I've got it. Right now, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. He's revealed to me his truth. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation real quick. "But God now unveils these profound realities to us by," what? "The Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and his deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things." I want to stop for a moment. This is what, our fourth time to come as a team to minister. And I think my husband and I came maybe a time or two before that. And how many times have been here that I've talked about John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And 17, "the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see," Jesus is talking, "the Spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him." And Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit was going to live and dwell on the inside of them. And then Jesus said, hey, in John 16, "it's expedient for you that I get out of here so that the Holy Ghost can come." But Jesus said, "you're going to know him. You know him." All right. And in the fact that what he said is that we know him, how, you know, as Jim used to always teach this in prayer school, what does Tigger do best? Bounce, right? What does a dog do best? Bark. You know, but what do Christians do best? Believe. And what do? We believe what the Bible says. And if you're a word of faith believer, what are you going to do? You're going to believe it, but then what are you going to do? You're going to speak it and you're going to act on it, right? And it's so important for us to believe what the word says. God wants us. I believe more than ever before, he is going, "Where are my people that are living by faith? Where are my people that are willing to step out on the edge and do whatever I tell them to do and throw caution to the wind and just say yes? I believe that he is still searching for some that will do and go beyond what this realm has to offer and go deeper into the things in the depths of God. He's looking for people. He's looking for Smith Wigglesworths. He's looking for John G. Lakes. And you don't have to be a preacher to be doing the miracles and the works of God. You're supposed to just believe him. How do you get to the place to where you're so consumed with God that you believe him more than anything in this natural realm? Is, yeah, you meditate the word, and of course, but you fellowship God, and then you do exploits in prayer. You, Brother Hagin said, the vehicle into the realm of the spirit is that of speaking in an unknown tongue. You want to go deep, you want to go further, then you speak in an unknown tongue. And then you take hold of some things that we got in prayer school years ago, is in 1 John 2:20, you've got an unction from the Holy Ghost. You know all things because he lives in you. And then with John 4:14, I know him. Because I know him, I can step over and pray. Because I know him, I can go deeper. I can go into the depths of God. I can flow with him. I'm not stupid. I'm not ignorant. You know, I was just in a Nancy Dufresne meeting, and she called me up. And you know what's funny? I went to that meeting expecting to just drink. Because we preach all the time. And I went to the meeting because Mom Pat Harrison was one of the speakers. And I've been her armor bearer for I don't know how many years. And I was like, man, Mom's going, I'm going. Because I've been wanting to go to one of Nancy Dufresne's meetings. I'm just going to go. So I took my assistant because Jerry had things he had to get done and stuff. And we went. And boy, I told my assistant, even on the plane, I said, oh, I can't wait. I'm just going to be able to sit and drink. I'll bring my supply from my chair. And that's what I told her. And then when I saw Mom, I told her, I go, Mom, I can't wait to hear what God's going to speak through you. And I've come to just bring my supply from my seat. And Whitney, her granddaughter, was with her. And they were like, yeah, you know, and we just started talking about different things and stuff. First service I walk into, I'm sitting, they reserve seat just right up there in front. I was like, who am I to be sitting up here? And the next thing I know, the worship is over, and Pastor Nancy takes the platform, and she begins to talk. And the next thing I know, I heard my stinking name. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I felt like I was back in Brother Hagin's days when I was in the group. And I was like, oh, man. And she said, Leanne, come up here. I thought, oh, Shondai, I haven't been thinking about nothing spiritual, about speaking or sharing or doing anything. And so I walk up to the podium, and she says a few words, and she says, just do whatever's in your heart. And I thought to go back to my seat and sit down. And you know, I've shared this for years. When, as ministers, if you don't know what to do, just, you know, and you get the service, just lift your hands and worship God. Say, everybody, let's worship God. It gets their eyes off of you and on him, and then you're able to shake a minute and hear something. Are you with me? And so so that's what I did. Everybody, let's just lift our hands and worship God. Hallelujah. On the inside, I'm going, oh, hallelujah. And I'm just worshiping God. But I had to practice what I teach and preach all the time. Holy Ghost, I know you because I know you. I got this, no problem. I got it. Now my head was going, but my spirit was like, well, no, you don't. You know how to step up. You know how to step up. You've got it. You know, if we could live from that place, I've got it. When the enemy comes against you, you're not going to have enough money, or you're not going to have this, or sickness tries to come upon you, an issue in the church, or God's telling you it's a new season, it's transition time, this and that, and whatever's going on. If you'll just go, okay. If God's saying, okay, I got it. I'm not gonna be consumed with the natural. I'm gonna live out of it. I've got it. Why? Because I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and he knows all things. Are you with me? I'll come back to that. There's another story. Just recently, when he was talking to me in the living room, just this couple weeks ago, he told me, you know, audibly, you should be hearing me audibly. It's not hard. As a spirit, you can hear me. Maskidele munsto bromo galabri gedidi devange gedele vrusto brahman dangre gedin today. For this is the hour and the day for my body to rise up and walk in my supernatural ways. My ways are that which I've placed on the inside of you to live. That's according to my word that you can walk in my ability and power and hear my voice. And I heard him say, and just live. Live in him. Move in him. Have your being in him. Amen? Living our lives in him. I'm sitting there and I'm writing all this stuff down in my living room. And he told me something. And I wrote it down. Wrote, I don't know how many pages down. A few days pass. My husband and I, we're driving around Rockwall. Father, we just thank you for our building. We just thank you for our church building. Thank you, Father God, for the meeting place, because we've still just been in the launch phase. God's had us in the launch phase for 4.5 years. Are you kidding? No. 4.5 years. My flesh, my personality is a get or done job girl. I like to get, if he says it, I'm already on it. If God tells me to do something, okay. If Jerry says do this, do that, yay! Especially if it's something I want to do. You know, well, let's go ahead and buy that. All right, I've already got it figured out. You know, I'm that's just my personality. Some of you are that way. You know, once you get something on your mind, you're going to get it done. You want a new outfit? You already got it. You got it figured out. Are you with me? So 4.5 years, we've been a launch team, 33 of us, meeting in our home every Sunday morning, every Thursday night. When we're traveling, we have others that step up to lead it. And it's been great. Oh, wow, the power of God, the presence of God just shows up all the time. Glory's filled that house. We've all been conked out. We've been dancing. We've been shouting. We've been rejoicing. You name it, it's happened in our home. It's been great fun. Great fun. Good. We've been training the troops. That's what we've been doing. We've just been training the troops. And so my husband and I, we're out traveling, driving around. Father, you know, and I looked down and I had the notebook with me and I pulled it out and I said, hon, I want to read some of this to you that he told me. And I began to read some stuff. I don't know if the phone rang or something happened. He got his mind on doing something. And I started reading quiet to myself. And I was glad I did, because I got to a part that I'd forgotten he told me. You know, have you ever done something like that? You know, it seems like you just closed off something God said. And he said to me, he said, you'll know about where you'll be meeting by October 23rd. And when I came to that, I thought, I don't remember. And this was the 21st of October. And I was like, I'm glad I quit reading that one out loud. I know that way, if I missed it, he's not gonna know it. And maybe it was pizza that made me get up. I don't know, that morning, you know. And I thought, October 23rd, dear God, that's just around 2 days. You know? When the 23rd came, I knew. It was just like that. Boom. I just knew it. I said, hon, we need to pray. It was the 23rd. Hon, let's pray. Because you know it's time for us to have the meeting place. And he said, okay. We prayed for a little bit. And I don't think we prayed 2 minutes. We stopped. Yeah. And I said to him, I said, what you got? He goes, well, you tell me what you got. I go, no, I'm not gonna tell you nothing. You tell me what you got. He goes, well, I'll tell you right now. We're supposed to meet in that elementary school. And that's where peace is. That's where it is. It's in that school. I was like, yep, that's exactly what I got. That's exactly what I know. And it was just like, whoa. And guess what? We gonna start meeting and marketing and everything and be in that elementary school. And then right behind that is our building. And it's just like, thank you, God. Why in the world did it take 4.5 years? We could have met in that elementary school. But God's timing is everything. How do we find out these things? By listening to him. Spiritually, with our spiritual ears listening. You don't want to get ahead of God. You want to stay right with him. The timing of God is everything. The timing of God is everything. And he wants to speak to you. And he wants you to get so comfortable in hearing him that it's easy. Following peace to me is just as much as listening to an audible voice. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just peace. That audible voice, we try to make it sound like our natural audible voice. When God speaks to your spirit, whew, you know it. And then when it is just peace, how did Brother Higgins say it? He said it was that velvet feeling, that velvety feeling, velveteen feeling. Yeah, velvety. Oh, velvety feeling. Yeah. And you know, when Dad said that as a student, I was 18 years old, and I remembered even when I moved back and was a youth pastor, it did something to me. I always knew, oh, I know how to do that. I follow peace. When I wanted to travel and itinerate, when I graduated Rhema and I moved back to my hometown, the Sunday school superintendent came to me and he said to me, he said, he goes, Leanne, could you teach the youth class? And I said, huh? He said, I know you're fresh out of Bible school and everything, but would you consider teaching the youth class? And I looked at him, old time Pentecostal. I go, who's even in the youth class? He goes, your sister and your cousin. Here I am, a great Rhema grad, and I'm going to come back and teach my sister and my cousin. And I looked at him and I said, I wanted to go, no. And I looked at him and I said, I'll pray about it this afternoon and I'll let you know this evening. Well, that right there was faith alone that I was going to hear and see and know. I'm telling them, I'll let you know tonight. Well, no, I'm going to have to pray about it for weeks and years. No, no, you should be able to hear the voice of God the moment you bow your head. The moment you begin to speak to him, he is not mute. He's talking, whether it's through peace, whatever. And, you know, I believe it's so true. Sometimes it's just common sense. Are you guys okay with this? But it's following peace and listening to him. And though it might not be screaming loud, audible like you like it in the natural, but you should condition yourself in such a way that you can just hear him in the stillness of the night or in the craziness of all kinds of loudness going on around you in the natural. How many of you have done that? When craziness was going on all around you, you went to your heart. What was that movie? Clear the Mechanism. Do you guys know what movie I'm talking about? With Kevin Costner, and he was a baseball player or something. Do you remember? No, it's the other one. It's another Kevin Costner baseball game, but he goes, he would be out there and he was the pitcher. Maybe it was the same movie. No, because he was a pitcher in this one. And he would get out on the mound to get ready to throw the ball, and all the people are screaming and yelling, and he'd stand there. You know, I don't know how they stand, but you know, he's standing there with his mitt on, and then he would, on the inside, he'd go, clear the mechanism. And when it did that, the movie went silent. You couldn't hear the people. They were, but you couldn't hear them anymore. Because to him, he cut it all out. He wasn't listening anymore. Can we do that? Yeah. In this natural realm, how many of you had to do it when crazy was going on? Do what? For the love of the game. Thank you. But how many of us have done that? Where you've had to go, God. And all crazy going around you. Yeah, you know how to do it. Because there's you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and you can hear him. Listen to him. Follow him. How simplistic is that? See, again, we're making spiritual things hard when we shouldn't be. The things of the Spirit are what? Easy. Paul wouldn't have said you could do it if he was going to say it could only be for the apostles and the prophets. Right? Mm-mm. He said, You can live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can live in God. You can hear God. Why do you think Paul was able to pray the Ephesian prayers? He was able to pray for the church in Ephesus because he wanted them to experience what he had. I want you guys to have intimate knowledge of him, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, intimate knowledge of him. You don't pray for people about things like that unless you're experiencing it. There's an experience in God that we as spirit beings are to be living in, operating in, and not moved. Not moved. There are some old saints that when I've got around them, I knew I was around people of faith. Solid. And there was a presence about them. Was it God? Yeah. I think of a man right now, Stan Moore, in Miami, Florida. He's in glory now. But when you got around him, and you guys knew him, but when you got around him, it was mushy, gushy love all the time. God's love. He carried himself so much in the love of God that when he got in your presence, or at least around me, it was like, oh, you just wanted your grandfather to hug you. You just knew he loved you. But he operated in love. He lived in love. There are some saints that when I've got around them, I felt like I was with Dad or Mom Hagen. There were times when I was around Jan Wright, who's over Rhema. Her and her husband started Rhema Brazil. And my first time around her, man, I knew I'm around a woman of faith. Whoop, whoop. Better watch my mouth, make sure I'm speaking truth too. Because she was a woman of faith, and she still is today. There are individuals you get around, and you know, hello. But how many of you know you should be already living that way? To where you don't even think about it. I better put my best face on. Better make sure my words are faith. Are they not supposed to be that all the time? So Nancy Dufresne, she called me up. I get up there and I'm like, what in the world am I going to do? I don't have nothing in my, I'm thinking about sitting through the service and bringing my supply from my seat. But what did I do? She called, let's worship God. And then I just begin to sing and worship God. And the next thing I know, there it was. What God wanted to say, speak, and do was just there. How many times in the Rhema Singers and Band that happened? How many times in prayer school where Jim would call on me and I didn't want to do anything? Well, now he'd call people up to lay hands on him because the Spirit of God was there and the Spirit of Liberty and everybody was getting drunk and everything. And then he'd turn around at me and say, now Leanne's going to lay hands on all of you. And I thought, what in the world? It's your meeting, not mine. You know, but what did it do? It made me have to step out by faith. And then if he didn't think, or this is how I interpret it, if he didn't think I was going after it in faith, you know what he'd do? He'd come up behind me and he'd go, now Leanne, and he'd start laying hands on him like a wild man. And then I was like, well, phooey, if he's going to do it, then I'm going to, like the jingles, but I was like, dear God, you know, God will put you with people that will make you go further. God will place you with people that will make you go deeper. Because I knew in the beginning, being with Jim, stay on his coattails. If he's going somewhere, I'm going somewhere. If he's going deeper in God, then I'm going deeper in God because of association. God doesn't connect you to people just to connect. I believe Holy Ghost connections are right. But I also believe that as spirit beings, we are to be hearing God from such a place of light and revelation, where we fellowship with God through his word. Our relationship with God is so real. Our walk with him. We don't have a religion. We have a relationship. We have fellowship with the creator of the universe, and he wants you to experience all that he is. And I've always been this way. If somebody else dies with sickness and disease, I hate that, but that's not going to cause my faith to alter. It's not going to cause me not to walk in healing. If somebody else has a faith failure, well, bless the Lord. I don't know what was going over there, but the Bible says, and I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And if the word says, his sheep hear my voice, if God's word says that greater works than what he did, I'm going to do, then I'm going to do them. I'm going to operate in them. I'm going to live and move and have my being in him. Well, nobody else seems to be doing all of that. The Bible says you can do exploits in prayer. You can go places in God. You can have eyes and to see, and revelation light floods your soul into the intimate, deep knowledge of God. God never meant for you to be ignorant. God never meant for you to not have understanding. He called you to live out of who you are in him. And when Jesus did all that he did, he didn't just stop saying, just live out of, no, he said, there's somebody that's coming after me. And the book of Acts happened. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came. And when he came, something happened. Are you with me? And with that happening, he came in. And we can speak with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue, praying in the Holy Ghost. God has revealed truth. Don't walk around in dark. If you're walking in the dark, it's your fault. You walking around with no friends, it's because you're not improving yourself by praying in the Holy Ghost. Edify yourself. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. He even said you have most holy faith. Wow, you got holy faith? Well, that's what the Bible said. Yeah, you've got holy faith. Well, I don't feel like I got any faith at all. You know, wrong thinking. I love what this individual said. Every time you have a wrong thought, speak truth. Every time you have a negative thought, speak what the word says. You might say, well, I don't want to get in works mentality. That is not works mentality. That is you living out of your relationship with the Lord, not allowing the thoughts of the enemy to bombard you. Because too many times we sit in silence, we drink his Kool-Aid, and then we wonder why our faith or who we are isn't happening in God. Because we're drinking the Kool-Aid of the enemy. If the enemy says to you, you're not adequate. You can't do that. You can't do that. You know, I never let myself think I can't do something. And if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to prove to you I can. But see, that's a part of my personality because my dad did that to me. All of us kids, dad put confidence in all of us. Oh, you can do anything, Leanne, he would tell me. You can do anything. And you know what? I believed him. Growing up with that, and now as I've gotten older in the Lord, I'm so thankful to God he put that in me. And if you didn't have a dad or mom that did that for you, then you've got to get in the Word and see that the Father God is saying, you can do all things through Christ. You can do all things. That's what he said. So now that I'm older and I'm more mature and I'm understanding a little bit more, wait a minute, it's just not my raw confidence that's doing this. When I put my confidence in the God that created me and how he said I can do all things, then bless God, I can. You tell me I can't, I'm going to show you I can. You watch, this church called Momentum is happening. Just because it's God's plan, it's his agenda, it's his heart, it's his plan, and it's coming to pass. It's happening. I don't care what anybody thinks. It's happening. If all of our team quit and left, it would still happen. Because my faith isn't dependent upon people. My faith is in him. Right? We see what God has spoken and what God has said. And we're on this journey of walking out this faith journey in what he's called this church that my husband and I are to be over. And he's told us what it is, what it's supposed to be, how it's to operate. And you know, when God's got plans, the enemy does too. And so he's been fighting in every way he possibly can. Whether it be through people dying that you love so much, whether it be through issues with people or whatever, the enemy. Have you guys found that to be true? It's just like, I mean, you're going after what he said, and then boom, 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 explosions are trying to happen all over the place. And you're just like, what in the world is this all about? And if you weren't spiritually mature, you would get discouraged. But what we do, you are stupid to think that there's anything that you could do that's going to keep us from fulfilling the will of God. Are you with me? How many of you are going to do the will of God? All the days of our life. No matter how small things might be or how big it might be, we're going to do it. Amen? And we're going to do it by the Word and by the Spirit. We're going to pray it out. We're going to live this supernatural life. We're going to live this life in Christ and not be shaken in this natural realm. And it's important for us to get our words out there. The enemy says, you're not this, you're not that. Don't just sit in silence. Don't just sit in silence and allow him to speak. Uh-uh. No, I had my niece, my nephew's wife. She's always been my daughter to me. Went to heaven a few months ago at 42. Now, that's not the will of God. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I know heaven is real. And I'm thankful. And I know she's happy, so I made a decision, I'm happy. I'm happy because she's happy, but man, I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at him. But you know what? It's not going to detour me. It's not going to take me off what I'm supposed to do. I'm going after the plan of God. Well, don't you want to know why? Don't you want to know this? And don't you want to know that? Well, God, you know what? No. 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 And maybe it's because I'm so simple. Maybe it's because I'm not a line upon line, as you can see, teacher that has to have my ones and my twos and my threes and all, little ABC, you know, all that. That's these other guys. And I'm okay with that. I like being me. Because it's simple. I don't want to try to figure out why it didn't, why she had to go to glory early. But I know what I am going to do. I'm going to stay after the things of God. I believe what the Bible says, healing is ours. It is the children's bread, and we're walking in it, bless God. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be moved, and I'm still going to run my race, and I'm going to fulfill all that God's called me to do, and I'm going to be happy, bless God. Holidays are coming. She was a big part of our holidays. Big part. Guess what I decided? I am going to have a wonderful holiday season. So much, I've already decorated my house for it. You might say, Leanne, are you serious? You got your Christmas tree up? I sure do. I've got three of them up. You got yours up? Yeah. You know, you might say, well, why you put them up so early? Because I can enjoy them. Put a lot of work in mine. I wish I'd brought pictures. We'd thrown them on the screen. You could go, oh, and my head would get real big. You know, but hey. I'm not going to be moved. No. My spirit's in charge, not my soul, not my emotions, not my will. And how do I get my spirit in charge? Is by praying in the spirit, spending time with the Lord and speaking the truth that I know him, that he's real to me. This life is a vapor. Then we're all going to be over there. They've only moved. Glory to God. Why in the world am I going? No, they've only moved and I'm going to see him tomorrow. Oh, you mean you're dying tomorrow? Guys, come on. I'm not dying. I'm going to run my race. But this life is a vapor. All of us in here that are older now I get it. When Brother Hagin used to say about talking about, you know, the more I get to know God, the more I don't know, I would sit there as a kid going, good God almighty, then I don't know squat. I get it really a lot. I get it now. Because the more you grow in God, the more you realize how big and wow. Wow, you can't get bored with God. No. And then, you know, you hear the stories of you know, when you were, as a kid, back in catalog days. Do you remember when you had catalogs? JCPenney's catalog, Sears. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd go through that catalog. You would turn the page down. You'd circle what you want. When I was a kid, man, you kidding? We enjoy Christmas, and then usually the next day, I've already got the catalog out, circling what I want for next year. What I want, what I want, what I want, you know? And it would always change throughout the year. But it just seemed like it took an eternity for Christmas to come again. Do you remember that? And now you just blink and it's Christmas You can't tell me that this life is not a vapor. And we're all, I got to say something again. And it will be a supply today. For as you step over into me, you'll find that what you do on this side will help you over on that side. And when these two sides collide, you'll just so operate in victory and freedom in me. And we don't need to make it difficult or hard, because it's in him that we do see. In Christ, we live, we move, we have our being. So what are you saying? What are you speaking? What are you doing? For this realm of the spirit is as natural as the natural realm is to your physical being. And the more you spend time speaking and meditating and fellowshipping with me and acting like that realm is real, you'll find that you're operating in it and you'll have eyes that see. I believe that. How many of you believe that? Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. So let's pray. You might say, what you going to pray about? I don't know. We'll find out. You guys okay with that? Glory to God. I have no idea what time it is. I do now. Hallelujah. Let's just pray a few minutes. Father, we just come before you right now. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, my. Today. I just heard the Spirit of God say, there are rivers that I've called this church to operate in. There are rivers that you've flown in. There's rivers that you flowed, rivers that you've prayed, but there's much more for you to enter in. Ha. And when you'll come confidently, over here in the spirit and speak, revelation will flood your soul and you'll hear me speaking. Oh, I love to talk and I'll tell you things and you'll be so glad that you heard that which I know that will help you for today, that will help you for tomorrow, that will help you have understanding. Standing. Oh, growth in this hour. It doesn't matter the economic scene. It doesn't matter the natural realm and what it tries to be. For that realm is not the realm that my body is to be operating and functioning from, you see. To operate from the realm of the spirit, the realm of glory, causes us to see from heaven's perspective and how I operate. And that which is mine is yours. If you'll dare to just take hold and speak it, it'll be multiplied. Oh, river. Oh, well, we don't buy Shinday. Yeah, for there's a flood of finances, a flood of finances, a flood of finances, a flood of finances right there for the taking, right there for the taking. Oh, wide open is the way. Will you believe it? Will you take it? Will you claim it? Will you say, oh, it's mine. I take hold of it and I run the race. It's mine. Will you believe it? Will you take it and run? Or do you sit back and go, I don't know if that could be in my life, or I don't know if that could happen in my ministry. I don't know. Oh, but stand up, declare, and run. That's what he's saying. My. With your eyes closed, I want you just to imagine abundance. Imagine full-blown abundance. If you had all the finances that you need, if you had absolutely everything that you need, what would you be doing for the kingdom right now? Guess what? You've got it. You're imagining it, but before you'll ever fully walk in it, you've got to imagine it. You've got to see it. I see it. Why do I see that, Father? Am I seeing that clear? It's a panacea pie. And it will be a fruzo doors, the scene arise, a blenacea divine. Right now, you need to be seeing, whether you're in the ministry, whether you're a layman in the church, whatever is in your life, your home, what you desire, imagine yourself functioning in those things. This realm is to help that realm. Assist that realm. Finances assist God, his agenda. And we have to recognize that we're living out of heaven in the earth. So whatever you need, is there. Guys, wait a second. Bill Winston said this. He said, every time God would tell me to do something, I never had the money to do it in the natural. It's when I stepped out. It's when I stepped out. I believe that God is enlarging vision right now. He's enlarging vision right now. Maybe you're renting, and God is saying, it's time for your house, or buy your apartment. Are you with me? Buy that duplex. God told us with the church, he said, money will never be a problem for momentum. And if he said that about the church, then that means there's no problem with money for us either. Because the funds are going to flood through the church family. Are you with me? You know, Nancy Dufresne just got a plane given to her. Jerry Savelle, you know, his wife Carolyn gave the plane to her. She'd been believing, 10, 11 years or so? I don't have 10 years to believe for the different things that I need and what's to be. We're all in different seasons in our walk in our lives, but I believe there's an acceleration. There's an acceleration in the spirit right now, because I believe we are in the end. We're in the end. What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? You might say, well, why do you keep saying that? What is it that God is dealing with you about that you've not tackled yet in your thought life? And he's saying it's yours. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe you want a Bentley. Maybe you just want a Ford, a Cadillac, an Escalade. There you go. God don't have a problem with that. He don't care. Maybe you're wanting to pay off a church, meaning their mortgage. Maybe you want to pay somebody's mortgage off on their home. Maybe you want to give somebody a nice watch or a new bag. No, I'm playing. Maybe you've got money to do something to bless somebody, but you're sitting on it. I was thinking about it the other day because I've got in this thing of where I sew bags, I reap bags. And I'm talking about handbags, and I'm not talking Walmart bags. I like Chanel. I like Gucci. I just like the bags. They last forever, and they're just fun. I like it. It's something I like. And you know, I've got some bags in the top of my closet that I'm not carrying. What you got? That you just don't want to get rid of because it costs $3,000. We hold on. It's natural things. Who cares? It'll come back to you. I have a friend that she gives away, she'll go buy a brand new Louis Vuitton bag, $3,400 bag. I'm carrying it right now. She gave it to me. She said, you know, lately I'll go get a new bag and I gotta give it to the pastor of whatever church I'm going to preach in. And I thought, well, we'll ask you to come preach. I like being around people like that, that just like to give. They don't have a problem giving. But God's wanting your imagination to imagine. I know Jim teaches on that, you know, where God uses your imagination, whether it's a holy imagination. And I remember, I'll never forget, we were working at the Prayer and Healing Center there on campus at Rhema, and I needed to say something to Jim, and I went to his office, and the light was out, but I could hear him. And I must have knocked on the door, because I could hear him praying. And I had knocked on the door before I heard him praying, and all of a sudden I heard him say, Leanne, I'm in here, come on in here. And I opened the door and I walked in and I go, "What are you doing?" And his blonde head popped above the, he was sitting almost, I don't know if you were almost under your desk or you were back so nobody could see you. And I go, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm sitting here in the dark, imagining myself knocking tumors off of people. I'm imagining myself pulling people out of wheelchairs. I am imagining myself doing these things." And I looked at him, I said, "Well, just like I said earlier, if he's doing it, I'm doing it." And I said, "Okay." I sat down in one of the chairs across from his desk. I said, "Okay, let's do it. I'll do it with you." And I just started meditating and imagining it. And you know, I think we need to get more back in that. You probably still are there, but I need to do that a lot more again. Because when we were doing that, I had more miraculous things happening. Because you'll never do what you haven't imagined yourself to do or seen yourself do. Or let's put it this way. When you see yourself doing something in prayer or you imagine it, it just makes it so easy when it's there. You just step into it. I remember when we were seeing things in prayer about a room in heaven of body parts. I remember that room just as vivid. I talk about it. I see it just as clear as day. There's the room. Do you see it, Jim? It's there. There are all the body parts in that room in heaven. And I'll never forget one time he and I praying in the office. And I looked up at him because I knew he was doing something because I could hear him moving. And so I looked over at him and he was doing this. And I go, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm gathering body parts to bring them to the earth." Well, you're doing it, I'm doing it too. And when we were doing stuff like that, that's when I had a lot more supernatural healings and miracles taking place. When I would see angels walk into a room and have body parts. When I'd be up preaching and I would say something. And the one that sticks out the most is that old man that sat over to the right in this church in Indiana that I was preaching in. An angel walked in, and he was a tall dude, looked real stern, walked all the way over to that side of the auditorium, stood by an old man, and he had something in his hands, and he was holding it, and he just kept looking at me. And I remember thinking, "My God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." I asked the pastor later after the service, I said, "Did I make sense what I was preaching on?" She goes, "Leanne, there was like a glow all about you. I've never heard you preach that good." I go, "Really? I'm going to have to listen to the tape." Because I had no clue what I was saying. Because I was so consumed with what I was seeing. But we had been praying weeks before about body parts in that room. Well, this angel actually brought one. When I saw him standing there, a spirit of knowing came on me. I knew what he had. I knew he had a heart, and that old guy needed a new heart. And immediately in my heart, I'm still teaching on healing, have no clue what I'm saying. But on the inside, I'm telling the Father, I said, "Father, this is freaking me out." I said, "Can I do this the way that I see it or the way I want to do it?" He goes, "How you want to do it?" I said, can I just say, if you're here and you need a new heart, there's a new heart here for you. Just lift your hands up and receive it. Or do I have to say, angel, blah, 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 and all this happened? I don't want to do that. He said, "Do it the way you want to do it. It's going to happen no matter what." And so I said, I stopped whatever I was saying. And I said, "Is there anybody in here that needs a new heart?" And that old guy, his hand went up first, just like boom. And then I just yelled it out. I yelled it out. I said, "Well, there's a new heart right there for you." And when I said it, that angel, boom, popped it right in his chest. The angel disappeared. That old man got up and started running laps all around the auditorium. Later, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You got a new heart." I don't think that would have happened had I not been in prayer and saw myself operating in that room of body parts. There's something about your prayer life, your imagination working together, and over there in the spirit, there are things that he's got for you to operate in. And if you don't begin to take hold of it, "Oh, I guess that was just me thinking that." No, some of you need to go back some years because it hasn't died in the spirit. There are things you need to pick up again and begin to talk about it in your own personal time. Begin to see yourself operating in that. There's something that's stirring in me, and I don't even want to say it in front of you. And it's like, oh, yeah, because I'm not there yet. That's why I've got to stay over there. Because when I stay over there in prayer, it gets bigger and it's growing and it's becoming a reality to me. But right now, I'm still here. So the more I imagine it, the more I'm praying in the Spirit, the more He's revealing, yes, you will have that. Yes, it will be that way. But if you don't begin to have light of it, sight of it, and begin to meditate on it, it'll stay a dream that never was fulfilled. He's the fulfiller of those things, but He's given us the right to take hold of them, talk about it, not with other people, maybe a spouse or someone close, but no, I'm not going to get up and share with you what I'm talking about right now, because I got to get more in the Word and get after it more myself. It's personal. Are you with me? For we are living in the hour of the end, and in the end, things are speeding up, and you're either going to jump in or you're not going to step in the fullness of what God has. I'm doing it. How about you? For faith is not hard to operate in. You've used your faith in the hardest thing you'll ever have to do, and that is in your salvation. Believing in an invisible God. And believe in now that your eternal salvation is in stone. You're going to heaven when you die. We have an expectant hope. Are you with me? Glory to God. But God wants us to live an expectant life in Him, in every area of our lives. Amen, guys? Was this too boring for you? Maybe for some that already is walking far beyond it, but I found out a long time ago, when you've got revelation of something, you want to hear it more. Yes, yes, you want to hear about it again, because it only keeps building in you. So what is God asking you to believe Him for? Oh, I just want to make my rent, or I just want to make my mortgage. Well, then you're living below who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray for every person in this place today, everyone that's watched by the internet. I thank You, Father, that we hear You, that we see You, that we know You. You're our reality, oh God. You are. You have revealed Yourself unto us, just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10. You have, but God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Oh, Father, who You are, what You are, what You want us to do. You're speaking to our spirits. It's easy to live this spirit life, to operate and function in You, and to live without fright, to live in a place of victory and freedom in all ways. We are people of faith. Oh, we are. Oh, I'm a woman of faith, and I'm living in this hour to walk in His glory. I'm gonna walk in His power. As I pursue them, I
come to pass as I declare and decree those things. Pray it out. Allow myself to imagine the fullness of all that you've called us to in this day. Father, may your revelation light flood our souls like never before. I hear you. Won't you just say that? I hear you, Father. I hear your voice. It's audible to my spirit. I hear you loud and clear. And I speak what you say. I'll pray what you say. And I'll live out what you've said. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen, amen. Well, God bless you guys.